It's fun to be the body of Christ. So this morning we're starting in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. So if you can turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. We're going to bring it up on the big screen there. And it says here, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And I find this very interesting because it says here in verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God. All right? And then the very next verse it says, and walk in love. And I think if we as a church can get a revelation that God is love, and we allow the love of God to flow through our lives, we will then be imitators of God. Many times we think in order to be imitators of God, we've got to modify our behavior of living. We have to change the way we act. We have to focus on what we're doing and what we're not doing. How many would agree? And those things are good. But what I want to prove to you this morning as we go through the scripture is that our focus and our intention is on the relationship with the Father, to have a revelation of his love in our lives. And out of that, we'll have change in our lives of what we do and what we say. Amen? And so, Ephesians chapter 5, if we go down to verse 3 and 5, to 5, it says, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, or which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks, okay? And then it goes on in verse 5, for this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, covetousness, or idolater has anything or any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So it's amazing because we have this picture here that God intends and wants us to be a holy people. Amen? And the misconception that people have is that you can't talk about the love of God and talk about the holiness of God together. They're incompatible. Amen? But what I want to show you here is that God is intending to see holiness in our life, right? And I'm going to, instead of the word holiness, I'm going to say character and integrity. How does that sound? God wants to see character and integrity in our lives, and this is a list of things we're not supposed to do. But I find it very interesting that in the beginning of the chapter, before he outlines what we're not supposed to do, he says, be imitators of God and walk in love. Because I want to suggest to you that unless you have a revelation of God's love in your life, if you don't have the first two commandments, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to have the strength or the ability to do this, at least with the right motives. Amen? And I find it very interesting because I'm in a study right now going through the New Testament, and every time God starts talking about behavior modification, dealing with your old man, changing the way you act, be different from the world, before that he talks about being identified in the love of God, or setting your mind on the things above, or putting on the new man. What's he talking about? He's saying if you want to change your life, you have to be rooted and grounded in the agape love of God. Amen? And when you're rooted and grounded in the agape love of God, it's easy to change because it becomes part of our nature. Amen? Go with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 14 and 16. James chapter 3. Verse 14 and 16, it says this. We talked about bitterness. How many remember the message last week? We talked about bitterness. And it says here, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, okay, do not boast and lie against the truth. For this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic, okay? For where envy and self-seeking exist, okay, confusion and every evil thing are there. And so envy and self-seeking, where they exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So God sees envy and self-seeking as not a good thing. But I want to say this to you. Now, I have children. How many have children here? I'm not envious if my kids have a talent that I don't have. How many would be envious and say, I wish I could be like my son? Oh, I'm jealous. I want to excel more than my own kids. How many have ever felt that? It's not in your heart, is it? It's not part of your nature. Amen? It's not natural. But if it's just somebody you don't know, it's very easy to be envious or want to develop in an area. I want to be like that person. But when it's your own children, you don't want to be like them. You want the best for them. When it's your own children, you're not jealous of the my kid can play piano. I never took piano. I'm so jealous. And I mean, if you are, then you got issues. You need, we can set up counseling meetings. But I'm telling you, the natural response to a father and mother to their children is to see them excel further than they excel. And they have nothing but love. I want to provide. I want to help you with your gifts. I want to help you develop in your talents. How many know what I'm talking about? And so when we have that kind of love from God, suddenly when we look out amongst the body of Christ and we see our peers within the church, we want the best for them. Amen? How could I be jealous of Neil because he has an ability that I don't have? I wouldn't be jealous because he's a brother. Amen? Only God can supernaturally put in our hearts that kind of love that is established in a family relationship. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 16, if we go there, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 16, it says here, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest in hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you when Jesus is revealed. Okay? As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as was in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also shall be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy as I am holy. Did you know that you can be holy? You know, I got all these Christians going around saying, well, we're never going to be holy. God says, be holy, be set apart as I am set apart. Isn't that an awesome thing? So God is saying, have character, have integrity, because I have character, I have integrity. Amen? And God is calling us to that place of walking in that place. And it says here in verse 3, therefore, gird up your mind. And I want to know, the reason why we have to gird up our mind, which means to take control of it, go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2 on the screen, and we'll see what it says here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? And so it's very, very, very important that we don't be conformed to this world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen? And if we don't understand what God's word says about his love and his acceptance for you, you're going to be conformed to the world. And God doesn't want that. God is interested in one thing. In James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, we'll talk about the most important thing to God. James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Anyone knows what it says? If any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unspotted from the world. You know, the church has no problem dealing with to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I mean, man, we got to stay holy and we got to stay right. But we miss this first part. God is interested. He's a father and he's interested in fixing relationships. How many see that? He says, I want to see the orphans, I want to see them being fathered. I want to see the widows being taken care of. That's what's important to God. God is important in relation. He's interested in seeing relationships reestablished with love. Amen? And so what I wanted to do this morning is I just want to take you for a little walk through the book of John and look at a few passages together. The first one we're going to look at is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. First John chapter 4, verse 7. We'll just put verse 7 and then we'll click through them so that we can all see the words. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If love is a natural outflow of your life, it's because you've been born of God. It's a natural outflow. And John is saying one of the fruits of knowing that someone has been born of the Spirit is they have a love that's not even natural. It's a love to care about people that sometimes they don't even know. It's a type of love that will get you up in the night to pray for people or have the compassion to come out on your own time on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and serve the community and feed kids ice creams and let them know there's a place where they're welcome. That's the love we're talking about. Do you hear what I'm saying? And those who have been born of God, they know God because there's love flowing out of their life. Let's go to verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And you know what the Bible says? Faith comes, how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what the enemy would like to do, because he knows he can't get you away from this book, he wants you to meditate on the scriptures that aren't pertaining to you as a believer. You need to know that God loves you unconditionally. Amen? And when you have that, walking in integrity and character becomes a lot easier. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And so God has manifested his love to us in this, right? He said, here's my Son. If you deny Jesus Christ, you deny his love. And so people can't even embrace or accept the love of God. They can't get into eternity, into heaven, because they have denied the love of God. But the moment you accept Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, I accept the gift of love that you gave me, you enter into that relationship with God. Amen? And this is love, verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we have to love one another. Amen? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to show you another scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, but whoever keeps his word truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. I find it very interesting that, you know, it says that whoever keeps his word, the love of God has been perfected. If the love of God has been perfected in you, the natural outcome will you begin to take care of obeying his word. Amen. The focus is on the relationship. The focus is on the love of God. And when your focus is on that, when you have an understanding in your spirit because the word has come and it come alive in you, that God loves me unconditionally. He loves me too much to leave me the way I am, but he loves me. So he's going to discipline me and he's going to change me. And then you have to make a choice whether or not you're going to obey. But the foundation is that God is what? He is love. Amen? And without the love of God being perfected within us, we'll have a hard time keeping his word. Amen? Love is the foundation. Another verse in 1 John chapter 4, 12. 1 John chapter 4, 12 says this. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And so we have to do a heart search sometimes and say, do I love my brother? Am I concerned about the needs of the body of Christ? Am I concerned about those around me? Has the love of God been perfected in me? Amen? If the word says the love of God can be perfected, that means it can be imperfect in your life. Amen? So, Lord, we need a top up. We need a top up of your love. Amen? Then I'll look at one more scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. Say that with me. Say, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And you know what? With us, sometimes there's a fear of not being accepted. Sometimes there's a fear of failure. Sometimes there's a fear, you know, like, what are people going to think if I do this or say this or do that? You know what? You can get to a place in the love of God where you're free from the fear of man. Your fear, you want to do well, you want to set a good example, you want to have character and integrity because you love God and because it's the right thing to do, not because you give a rip about what anybody else thinks. And that's a place of freedom that God wants us to live in. Amen? And I want to say this, and that's why the Bible says be rooted and grounded in love. Amen? You know, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, let's look at this as well. But this we know, that the love, know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And you know, Christians go around thinking, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I feel restricted, and I want to have the freedom, and I'm just going to go out and party with my friends, and then come to church and feel guilty on Sunday and do this. And there's no difference. They have not put off the old man. They just kind of live on the fence in both worlds. And in Christianity, they want God, they want to get to heaven, they've experienced sometimes the presence of God, but they still want to hold on to the world. I want to tell you this, they've never experienced the love of Abba Father, because when you do, you can't go back. Amen? You can't. The fence belongs to the devil. The fence belongs to the devil. It's a good word. So God wants us to focus on our relationships, first with him, and then he wants us to focus on our relationship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord and with our natural families. And the devil wants us to focus on something else. The devil wants us to focus on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the enemy has not changed his strategy. He's not changed his ways. He still does the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And he does that. That's who he is. And in the Garden of Eden, he came to Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that Adam and Eve, they walked in the cool of the day. They were in relationship with Abba Father. And God said to them, listen, my playground is heaven. I've created the earth. This is your playground. This is your place. Take dominion. You can name all the animals. You can have dominion over this whole earth. You can rule and reign. You can be like a god with a small g. You can rule and lord over this planet, and I'll have heaven, and we'll be buddies, and we'll be in relationship, and I'll be your father. And it was all good. There was no restriction. It was all about relationship, and it was all about love, and it was all about trust. How many see that? But he said, there's one thing I'm asking you not to do. Just don't touch this tree. And he had to do that because man had to be a free moral agent, which means he had to be able to have a way of making his own decision. So because God loved us, he gave us that decision. Now, what happened was the serpent was more cunning than all the creatures, and the devil came into the serpent, and he said to Eve as she passed by, hey, look over here. Look at this tree. Look at this tree. Doesn't this look pretty? Focus on the tree, Eve. Look. And the Bible says she looked and she said, boy, that looks really good to eat. Maybe I'll. The Bible says that she thought it looked desirable. And he said, doesn't this apple look nice? Doesn't this look fresh? We were in Bible school, actually. And this is a side note. And one of the students put up, and the dean said, any questions? And the student put up his hand and said, he was Catholic, and he said, I was taught that the apple was actually S-E-X. Is that true? And everybody cracked up. No, it was actually a fruit. It wasn't S-E-X. I don't know what the priest taught you, but anyway. So she's looking at this tree, and she's thinking, hey, it's desirable. And so what the enemy said, he said, I don't want you to focus on relationship with God and all the millions of things that God says you can have and you can do, and I want you to focus on the one thing that he says you can't have. And what the devil did was he made it look desirable. He said, you know what? God's holding out on you. Amen? You have to have this because he doesn't want you to be like him. And isn't that what's happening in the church today? Is the enemy has come and says, you know what? It's okay. You can have a little bit of the world. It's desirable. You can have a little bit of this. You can have a little bit of that. You're too, you know, there's something desirable here and God's holding out on you. So just go and play with it. Amen? And so what's happening is got half the church staring at the tree going, oh, that looks really good. And God's over here. Amen? And the enemy's trying to focus you on the few things that, as the Bible says, don't be this way, and it's for your own benefit. And so the church is staring at the tree saying, oh, I just want to have this. I want to have it. It looks good, and God's holding out on me. And what they should be doing is focusing on their relationship with Abba Father. And what happens when you focus with Abba Father? When you're focused with God, the tree is still there, but it's in your blind spot. And the moment you decide to look at it, you put on the old man. But if you decide to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, your heart will tune in to the things of God. You won't even desire the things of the world. Sometimes a temptation will come when you're down and out. We all have those days where you just feel like you've been kicked around, and you'll have a bit of a temptation to look at that tree and say, well, you know what, that used to come for me. That bottle, that used to come for me. Maybe it'll help me today. Amen? Maybe if I just blow up one more time or call that person back and give them a piece of my mind. You know what? Oh, it feels desirable. But no. I look unto Jesus. I'm going to blow up in my prayer closet and tell God how I feel, like David did. I'm not going to bring it out on people. Amen? And so God is calling us to walk in relationship with him. And when we do so, when we focus on our love for God and allow him to pour his love into our hearts, all of a sudden, the things of the world are not burdensome anymore. They're not even interesting. Paul said, you know what? I'm dead to this world. I'm crucified to this world. He called it dung. You know what dung is? You don't pick it up. Amen? And you can walk in such a place. See, God is in the restoration business. Amen? God wants to restore. God is into restoration. Amen? I wanted to, this morning as we close, I wanted to honor the Lord. I want to pray for those who want to stand and say, you know, I just want a fresh revelation of my spirit of God's love. And this is a challenge I have for every one of you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to do it myself. How many will do a challenge? I'll tell you what it is if you lift your hand, okay? So how many want a challenge? It won't be tough. Just lift your hand, okay? The challenge is this week, in your prayer and devotion time, I want you to open up 1 John and go through the whole book, however you'd like, and ask God to reveal the truth of his word concerning his love. Amen? How many can do that? Okay? And you watch as you're touched and pulled into getting a revelation of God's love, how easy it is to say, you know, I don't want to watch that anymore. I don't want to talk this way anymore. It just becomes a natural, amen, because of the relationship. Is that a good word? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. God is good. Let's stand and let's pray. And then I just felt we could do one worship song to honor the Lord. And we could have the worship team come up. That'd be awesome.